we do have a few prayer requests this morning. Continue to pray for Berlin Boros as they are headed to court and need prayer this morning. Continue to pray for Connie, who is in the hospital in Oklahoma City. And then let's pray for Michaela. She has court this morning also. And then I have a praise report. So yesterday we prayed, I think Friday, some last weekend, we prayed yesterday for my son, Justin Lovell, who was on his way to take his contractor's license. He's a journeyman plumber.
Yeah.
Now he's a contractor. Nice. God's so good. He's so good. We can pray for those needs.
All right. So for Berlin Boros, Connie, we got her in the hospital. And then Michaela, she has court this morning too.
Yes.
So when you mentioned the court, I was reminded of it. There's a scripture in the Word. And it actually says that in those moments when we stand before the judges or we stand in the courts, that God will give us the words, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we want to pray for. So we don't know the situations, but God does. Why they have to go to court. And so, Father, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit, and I thank you for your word, and I thank you that you're faithful to it. And so I thank you for in these situations that, Father, that when they're in court today, Father, that you give them the words that they need to say, or in the moment that they need to remain silent, Father, that they would just remain silent. Because I know in court sometimes emotions are involved, right? So, Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that he is our helper. And we thank you that in both of these situations with Michaela and Berlin, Father, today, that you are faithful to your word and that you bring about your will, your purpose, your truth, and your justice in this situation in Jesus' name. And, Father, for Connie, Father, we just thank you that whatever's going on there, Father, your word reminds us and shows us continually that you are the healer. So, Father, I just thank you and we pray that whatever she needs from you today, Father, that you would move and you would touch in her life and that you would bring total restoration to her body, mind, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name today.
Can you also pray for Renee and Robert Guilford? They're traveling back from Colorado today.
So, Father, we just thank you for them. We thank you for the Giffords. And, Father, again, I just always go back to your word. And I even think I was reminded this last week. I was reading where even when Moses, when you were not happy with the children of Israel, Moses reminded you of your word. And so, Father, I love that because you are faithful to your word. And so, Father, I just thank you that your word says that you put your angels in charge over us to keep us in all our ways, lest we would dash our foot against a stone. So, Father, I thank you that you have given us the angels, that you have put them in charge over us to keep, to watch and protect us. So, Father, we just thank you as they travel today, Father, that they travel with your angels, with your mercy, with your protection, in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Oh. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue right here in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, words.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at barberdysonford.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty.
Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We hope.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for today is Jason Mong. His title for today is No Condemnation. Back to you, sir.
All right. So let's get into the word a little bit. So I'm going to kind of paraphrase through this a little bit, and then we'll read just a little bit word for word too. But so if we get into Romans 7, I'm going to go down to about 9. So Paul is talking about here, or 10, he says, so I discovered that the law's commands, which were supposed to bring life, brought spiritual death instead. Sin took advantage of those commands and deceived me. It used the commands to kill me. But still the law itself is holy, and its commands are holy, right, and good. But how can that be? Did the law, which is good, cause my death? Of course not. Sin used what was good to bring about my condemnation to death. So we can see how terrible sin really is. And this is kind of the punchline. It uses God's good commands for its own evil purposes. And he talks about in here, like when before the law was given, and he uses the example of covetousness, right? We didn't know that coveting was wrong until the law was established to say coveting is wrong, right? And what happens in that place, that's where it uses God's good commands for its evil purposes. That's what sin does. That's what the voice of condemnation does in your life. And for me, again, kind of in that story that I was sharing, I knew the things that God was calling me to, according to his word, right? I knew that in my life. But when sin shows up, what does it do? It uses those good commands, and then it puts a burden on top of you when you can't fulfill those, right? And in that place, if we get stuck right here in sin, and as we go on down through, he talks about his struggle with sin. Paul talks about that. And one of the things that I've noticed is a lot of people will get into this in 7 and they'll identify, right? And so let me just read this. So we're going to continue in verse 14. It says, so the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I really don't understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one that's doing the wrong. It's the sin that's living in me. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is my sinful nature. So we kind of, we'll get that understanding. We'll see it in scripture and be like, oh yeah, like that's me, man. But well, what I'm here to tell you is if that's you, you remember that cycle that I talked about? That you do good until you can't do it anymore. And then you say, I'm done with it. And then you feel bad about that, and then you go give your life back. It gets you stuck in this cycle. And think about this. Paul talks about us running a race, right? Races, I was going to say aren't in circles, but it's kind of funny. We do make races in circles, don't we? But think about this. If you're only running a circle, there's no progression,
yeah.
Right? If we're running the race, if we look at our life is here now and our destination is heaven, that's a straight line. Right. So but if we look like on track meets that we do, if we're just running a circle, there's no progression. And that's exactly what that sin cycle is. It's simply a circle that you get stuck in, and you are not progressing in the race. Right. You're not moving towards the final goal in that. And that's what sin brings into your life. It's like it takes off one foot. So all you're doing is you're just popping in a circle. Right. Or tacking down one foot. You're just going to move in a circle, and there's not going to be growth or maturity or progression in your life. And that's what sin does, is it gets you stuck, right? And I noticed that in my own life. And of course, we all know how we are in the flesh, is I noticed that in everybody else's life too, right? But what does the word instruct us? Pay attention to the plank in your eye and quit worrying about the little speck in someone else's. But in that cycle, what do? You notice everybody else's specks, right? Because when the voice of condemnation is the loudest, it's cultivating an environment for you to get stuck into the things of the sinful nature, as he talks about here. And again, that's why we must understand the truth of the word. And then, like I talked about the two voices, I come into agreement with this when I'm stuck in a cycle. But if I come into agreement with the word of God, or the good guy over here, right? What does Colossians 2 say? If I go in there and I read the truth of the word, it says that in the moment of salvation, when I give my life to Christ, that a supernatural things happen. A circumcision of that sinful nature that we're born into through Adam and Eve is now cut away. It doesn't exist anymore. We are no longer tied to the sinful nature. The sinful nature no longer has power in our lives. As a matter of fact, now as a new Christian, that does not exist. And what I want to tell you is, even if the enemy has deceived you and got you in the sin cycle, it did not re-implant the sinful nature. It did not, right? And I think about this going back all the way to the Garden of Eden. When the serpent shows up to Eve and he said, "You can't eat all this fruit?" And she said, "Oh yeah, we can eat all the fruit except for the tree of good and evil. We can't eat that one because we'll die." And what does he say? "Well, surely you won't die," right? God had given her a truth, and then the enemy twisted that truth, and she believed the lie, right? It does not change the truth of God's word. And God's word says that when we give our life to Christ, the sinful nature is now circumcised away on a supernatural level. It's no longer a part of who we are. All the way back to the garden is where it entered in that moment where he deceived Eve, and she partook of the fruit. Then from every offspring now that came down into every generation, the sinful nature is a part of who we're born into, right? But Colossians 2, when we're reborn, born again into Christ, that sinful nature is now circumcised, it's cut away, it's no longer a part of who we are. But again, that deceiver, that serpent, just like he was in the garden, he has no new tricks. He's still just a deceiver and a liar. And he'll come to you and he'll say, "Oh yeah, but look what you did." And he'll start using that voice of condemnation. And yet again, it does not change the truth of God's word. We have to, whichever voice we come into agreement with is the one that we're going to walk in. That's the life that we're going to walk in. If you walk into agreement with the voice of condemnation, you're going to walk defeated and depressed and loaded. But if you walk in to the voice of Christ, into the Holy Spirit in your life, he that the Son sets free is free. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. That's what the word says. And if I put my focus there, guess what? I'm going to find myself. And I look at it like being chained to the floor. Those chains are broken, you know? And it's like the only thing that keeps me chained to the floor is my belief. Simply my belief. Where do I choose to apply my faith? And I heard this saying this last week, and I thought, man, that's so good. So fear is believing something that has not happened yet. Faith is believing something that has not happened yet.
Come on.
Which one are you going to believe?
Come on.
That's it. You know, that's the simplicity. Where am I going to apply my faith? Because you are applying faith always. And as the word says, to each one of us is given the measure of faith. If you're going to apply, faith can be applied to good and evil. It can, because it's what you believe, right? And if you believe the truth of God's word, guess what? You're going to see the fruits of that in your life. But if you believe the voice of condemnation, guess what? You're going to see the fruits of that in your life too. Because that's where you're applying your faith to. That's a truth that God has given us. That's a gift that God has given us of faith. We just only need to apply it in the proper manner. And when we do, guess what? We reap all the benefits of what he says in his word. It comes to pass. Even on that note, I think I've talked about this a little bit, but I think it's worth repeating. When we look at Peter in the boat, right? And as Jesus was walking in the water, and Peter's like, his faith was bubbling up inside him, like, "I want to do great and amazing things. Like, this is Jesus. If that's really you, call me out of this boat." Like, his faith was huge, right? And so Peter steps outside of the boat, and he walks on the water. And then what does he do? He gets his eyes off of Jesus. He puts his faith into the water and says, oh gosh, like this can overtake me. Well, guess what? It began to. Mm-hmm. Until Jesus grabbed a hold of his hand. And Jesus says in that moment, oh ye of little faith. And so I went back and I was looking at this, that word little. And in the human language, we look at that and it means small, right? Or tiny. And it's like, that almost seems like a demeaning word that Jesus would use. Like, your tiny faith, like, you need to grow it bigger. It needs to be bigger. But when you go back and you look at that Hebrew word, and even in the English language, there's a secondary meaning for the word little. And it means short duration. It doesn't mean tiny or small. It just means of short duration. What he was saying in that moment to Peter was, and this one I went back and looked at that Greek word, it means your faith was, it didn't last very long. You applied it. You applied it long enough to walk on the water, but you didn't keep applying it. You didn't keep applying it every step that you took on the top of that water. It was in short duration, so you began to sink. How many times in our life, again, when this sin cycle, when condemnation's voice begins to speak so loud that we don't allow our faith to be long, right? And looking at love itself, what does the word say that love is? It's long-suffering, right? Jesus is love. That's who he is. He's inside of us through his Holy Spirit. We are now enabled and walk from that place of long faith. If we don't turn or listen, if we don't put our eyes on the other circumstance or listen to the voice on your shoulder that's bringing the condemnation. Because what do the words say in that place? If you'll resist this little guy, he'll finally leave.
Yep.
He'll get off your shoulder, right? And does that mean, and he says he'll come back at a more opportune time. It doesn't mean that he's gone forever, but in that moment, resist the devil and he must flee. That's the truth of the word, right? But so many times we'll attend our ear and guess what? That's not resisting, so he's not going anywhere. He's going to hang out right there as long as we let him. Resist him. Resist him in that place. So let me continue here in the word. Verse 18, I'm going to read here again. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It's a sin living in me. I have discovered this principle of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And he has a big question mark there, right? So that's a place that we can all relate to, right? Outside of truly experiencing the freedom of Christ, we can relate to all those things. And the way I always say in my teaching, if the shoe fits, kick it off, right? If you find yourself stuck in this place, if this is, oh yeah, I can relate right there, then you need to keep reading. And what does he say after the big question mark? Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And then he says, thank God, bigger exclamation point. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is in my mind. I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. And it goes right into Romans 8:1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Right? That's where we live. That's what our power. That's where we're empowered from on the other side. Of yes, that's the moment at that rock in the Colorado mountains that I said, Jesus, I give my life to you. That's where I lived in that moment. I just didn't know it. I didn't know the truth of the word. And so for years, I walked into this whole cycle thing. I ran in a circle instead of running that race of longevity that Peter talks about, right? I was running this circle, and every time that something would come into my life of sin or of failure, then I would beat myself up. I would come into agreement with the voice of condemnation, and I would allow that to rule my life. The burden would get heavy, and I would finally say, you know what? This is not worth it. It's not worth it. And then I would get drawn again, and the cycle just repeated itself over and over and over. And again, I seen that. As in the system of church, I've seen that in so many people's lives. And I didn't care if it was from children to adult. I've seen it over and over and over. Because what I noticed as a child, oh, there was an adult. And then now I haven't seen him for 3 months. And then, oh my gosh, they showed back up at church. And then I realized, I know what's going on. I see what's happening. They're going through the same thing I am. I'm just not an adult. I can't not come to church because my mom's pulling me in by the ears, right? But in that moment, what they were doing was they got tired. They got heavy, and they just left. They just took a break for a while. And then God was again pulling their heart, and so they came back. And now I've seen that into my adulthood, and I thought, man, we have got to get the truth of the word. And if you don't understand that, go read Colossians 2. Know and see the circumcision that happens, that the sinful nature is now cut away. There is no power in you outside of the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ himself that is the voice of truth and not the voice of condemnation. And what does he instruct us after that point? Renew your mind. That's the simplicity of it. Renewing your mind simply means the way that I thought, the way that I thought it got too heavy, the way that I thought the burden was too much and that I couldn't bear it anymore. I need to stop thinking that way and think according to the truth of the scripture. I cannot renew. I want you to get this. I cannot renew my mind without reading the word of God. If you simply go in and you feed yourself once or twice a week by listening to someone else speak the word of God to you, it's not going to empower your life. You have to get into the word yourself. You have to pick up your Bible. You have to see the truth of what God's saying, because that is you listening to the other voice on purpose, right? Because this is God's words. God is speaking through his words. And as you speak the truth to your word, guess what? It brings the renewal of your mind. And it will put you on the straight track, the race that God has set before you, the one that you're going to run with joy and patience and long-suffering and kindness and goodness. All of those fruits of the spirits that God has put inside of you through his Holy Spirit, right? Those are not things that we attain by our own efforts. The only effort that we must give to attain those things in our life is dying. As the word says, if you're to follow me, you got to deny yourself. Pick up your cross. That's what God requires of our life. And in that way, you will find yourself more fulfilled, at peace, and staying and remaining in peace. We look at the words of Jesus. What does he say? That the Father is in me and I am in him. That's abiding. And he talks about like the analogy that he gives the vine and the branches, right? It's all a solid. It's a solid piece. There's no disconnect between the vine and the branch. And then what happens on the end? Fruit. When we abide, when we remain in Christ, we are going to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit inside of us, which is love, patience, peace, kindness, all of those things. You know, and I know there's a lot of things we say in the Christianese world, like, I just need more patience. You have all the patience you need. You just need to start walking in the truth of it. That's it. Well, I need to be more loving. You have all the love you need. It's all inside of you. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not you. It's the fruit of the Spirit, of God's Spirit inside of you. And when you accept him, when you walk in the truth of baptism, guess what happens? An empowerment. That's what the baptism is. Again, in Colossians 2, when we die to ourselves, when we bury ourselves under that water, it's the significance of Jesus being buried. And when we're raised up, it's to a new life. And there's a scripture that says it's like new clothing. It's like we're putting on new clothes, right? And I love what it says in that moment. The old, it's gone. Gone. The new is here. The new is here. And again, simply applying my faith and believing that and say, I do believe that. I don't care what I feel. I don't care what I'm going through. I don't care what life is bringing at me in that moment. Don't be Peter. Don't put your eyes on those things. Because what happens in those moments, it shortens your faith. Mm-hmm. It makes it of short duration. We need long faith, right? We need big faith. We need something that lasts. Matter of fact, it needs to last until the last day you check out of here. God has ordained your time here on earth. Use it well. Apply the faith that God has given you, that measure of faith. Mm-hmm. Apply it well so you can walk in the truth of the things that he's given you. And guess what you're going to see? You're going to see your life transformed. You're going to look back and say, oh my gosh, that cycle, like, I'm done with that. It's over with in my life. And as encouragement to you guys today, if there's somebody out there that just feels like you're stuck in that cycle, stop listening to the voice of condemnation. And I even want to encourage you to this. You have the power to silence it. We are joint heirs with Christ. We see Jesus speak to the demonic. We see him walk in the supernatural things. We are joint heirs with Christ. Mm-hmm. You are given the same power. You are given the same authority that Jesus walked in. He himself said it. Be perfect as I am perfect. These things that I have done, you guys are going to do also. What we will do is we will look at our lives. We will judge ourselves among ourselves and disqualify ourselves. You don't get to disqualify you because you didn't make you. And I like to give this analogy. What is the value of a person? Because I know what we do is we'll compare ourselves among ourselves and we'll look at a guy like me that's a pastor or another person that's a pastor or a teacher that walks in a leadership role and they'll say, oh, but God's moving in their lives in a way that he would never move in mine. That's not the truth. God said that he's no respecter of men. God will move in your life like he will any other person's life that you see. If you see someone's life that is like, man, I would like to live like that. I would like my heart to be like that. It can be. Because that's not them. That's not them living that way. That's Christ in them. The hope of glory. That's what you're seeing. That's what you're drawn to. That's what you see and say, wow, that is amazing. It's not them. And if they're walking immature to that, they're going to be the first to say that, right? This ain't me, man. This is Christ in me. That's the only way I can do this. I've been screwing it up forever, right? Until I finally got the truth of the word. And then guess what? That old is gone. This new is here, and I'm going to walk in it. And I'm going to show, and I'm going to live before men. I even look back at the scripture. I look at Paul's, and there's one point where he says, look at me. Watch my life, you know? And at one time I thought, that's arrogance. Like, dude, that's kind of nasty. But then I see the maturity in that. No. What he was saying was, God has taken me from something I used to be, and he's made me into something that I could never be without him. Watch. Because if you continue to watch my life, he'll do the same thing in yours. He can do the same thing in your life, because as you watch my life, I'm going to live as an example and encouragement. I'm going to build you up. I'm going to call you up here. I'm going to extend a hand to bring you up onto this platform, right? Glory to glory to glory, as the word talks about. That's what we are called to. That's what each one of us are called to. And as I mentioned at the very beginning of this, each one of us are called into the ministry. And we should always be ready to share that hope. And as we share that hope, it is nothing but, I just see a picture of this big stairway to heaven, right? And each one of us are just reaching down to the one that's on the step below and just saying, come on up, man. Come on up, man. And as that continues, it all leads eventually to our eternity with Christ. And what is that bridge? What is that stairway? Jesus.
Amen.
Because he is the bridge between us and God. That thing that was lost in the garden, that relationship that was lost in the garden, was restored when Jesus spread his arms on that cross and gave his life for you and me. All we need to do is accept that. So as a final encouragement today, if the voice of condemnation has had a voice in your life, tell it to be quiet. Take authority over that in Jesus' name. And say it out loud. Mm-hmm. You talk to yourself anyway, we all do. Right? But in that moment, because most of the time, I know when that happens, most of the time it's when you're by yourself. Because it's when you're nothing else is around you, nobody else is around you. That's when that thing starts to stop, starts to talk, starts to beat you up, starts to do those things. And just tell, in Jesus' name. I know the word. Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I am in Christ, so get out of here. I silence your voice in Jesus' name. You will have no more voice in my life. I will no longer hear you. It's simple as that. You know, and people, I have so many people in my life as a pastor, they'll call me, they'll just say, I need you to pray for me. And I'm sorry, you don't need prayer. You need the truth. You need the truth of God's word. Because when you have the truth of God's word, then you know you walk in the authority just as I do. Yes, for those that are walking and they're not quite matured in that, yes, I am going to pray with you. But at the end of that prayer, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to encourage you and say, you've got this. The Holy Spirit lives in you, the same one that lives in me. Stand up in the authority that he's given us both and silence the voice of condemnation in your life. And don't tune your ear to it any longer. The word says that my sheep know me and they hear my voice. Stand on that truth. And if even if you don't think that, just like in the moment where Peter was walking on the water and he started to sink, there's going to be points where you start to sink. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change the truth. So if you feel like you're sinking, stand on the truth and say, Father, I thank you. If you think that you're in a moment, a dry season, and more of that Christianese junk, right? I just feel like I don't hear the voice of God. That's not the truth. My sheep know me and they hear my voice. Mm-hmm. All you need to do is change your thinking. Father, I thank you. I thank you that I hear your voice because I'm your sheep. I thank you for speaking to you. And then and now, Father, I just quiet everything around me. I quiet everything in my mind. And I just position myself to hear you speak. He will. He will. I promise. There's nowhere that there's just some things we've caught through the Christian world, like some weird things that we've caught. Not even that it was necessarily taught that way. We just caught some really weird stuff. Like we go through dry seasons and blessing seasons and all these things. I'm not saying that there aren't seasons of God, but there ain't none of them where God says, I'm just not going to talk to you. That's not what he says in his word. My sheep know me and they hear my voice. But what happens is sometimes we get our focus off of that and we allow the other voices in life to become louder. And guess what? You can't hear God's voice mm-hmm. because you're listening to too many others. Yes. We don't need prayer. We need truth. That's the truth of the gospel. Because sometimes prayer is used as a crutch. We just want to, oh, please pray for me. Oh, please pray for me. And you'll find somebody, it's kind of like that cycle. They just get stuck in, I always need prayer. No, you need the truth so you can stand up and walk mm-hmm. in the maturity of Christ. There is a time that we are to eat milk, but there's a time that we grow up and we have to start walking this and doing this on our own and seeing, this is in me and I can do this thing. And our job as one, as other Christians around one another, what does the word say? Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Sometimes we do need to just go put our arms around a brother or a sister and just hold them up for a minute and say, you've got this. But you know what? Then speak the truth of God's word to them, encourage them up, and then say, now get out there and get after it. You know? Amen. We can't be walking around hobbling Amen. All the time. That's not who we are in Christ. That's not the truth. That's not the strength that the Holy Spirit gives us. Holy Spirit is not weak. Matter of fact, every battle that will come before us that has or is to come is already won. It's already won. That's the truth of God's word. He will not take you to anything that he's not already defeated for you in your life. There's nothing that the enemy can bring that he's not already beaten. Look in the book of Revelation. It gets really nasty, but you guess what? He's beaten. He's defeated. Amen. It's over. There is a final place for him, and it is not in our hearts. That's the place for the Holy Spirit. Salvation means a house full with no empty rooms. Mm-hmm. That's who we are in Christ. Believe that today and be encouraged. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. A couple of things that the Lord dropped while you were speaking this morning. One of them is, and I got to pick my feet up on this one because. In the Bible, when you were talking, the Lord brought to my remembrance about the master and the talents. And the Lord said to me, he said, have you ever thought about the talents being the time? No. The time he's given us here, how are we using it?
Right.
In the sin cycle and the spin cycle going round and round and round and round?
Right.
Or are we spending it in the fullness of the Lord? Doing his will.
Right.
Listening for what he says. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God.
That's right.
And then he brought this other one up. Whenever you were talking about dying, being baptized.
Right.
It's not literally death. It's not literally dying. It is a dying to yourself and receiving true life.
Right.
And there's joy. And dying whenever to me, dying is joy. And joy to me is putting my Jesus over myself, laying myself aside, like walking through the past 5 years, hearing a grandson pray for his mama, it's healing,
yeah,
and to come to God, hearing a grandson pray for God to heal his mama. When I got Angel, I told Angel, baby, mama's sick. I didn't say, your mama's just a druggie. Your mama's never gonna. Your mama this, your mama that. I said, baby, I said, mama's sick. Like grandma was sick.
Right.
But God can heal your mama. Like he healed me. He healed me
right.
from that very sickness. So I know God can heal your mama. So we just have to ask him and then thank him. Ask him and thank him until we see it.
That's the key word, until we see it. That's right.
You know, Jason, there was times, and I don't like to admit this, but there were times, 3D, set more than one detox center, 2 to 3 detox centers,
right.
two to four rehabs. There was times that I just wanted to quit.
Right.
That voice, she's never going to get it. You might as well just forget it. You're going to be raising him the rest of his life. Why are you wasting your time? Those are things I heard in my head. But God's voice, small, still voice, was stronger. Not louder.
Right.
Stronger.
Right.
Than the other ones. And every time I wanted to quit, the Lord reminded me. He didn't quit me. He didn't quit me.
Yeah.
He remained faithful. And he assured me he was going to remain faithful to Kaylin. And he was the one that encouraged me to keep going. Don't quit, don't quit. You're almost there.
Yeah.
We're almost there. Don't quit, don't quit. Don't quit. You're almost there. And now he's back with his mom.
Yeah.
And she had court. Last week, the end of last week.
Yeah.
She could have got up to 15 years in prison. Federal trafficking. A federal offense, trafficking.
Yeah.
It's no joke.
Yeah.
But God heard prayer and saw a surrendered heart and showed favor on her in court. They were trying to give her 10 years in prison. But God, she got 10 years suspended. No prison, no jail. She got 2 years parole or probation. I don't know which one. And all she has to do is send in a piece of paper and a payment for 2 years. And do so many hair follicles within that 2 years.
Thank God for his mercy.
But God.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it. Don't let the enemy talk you into quitting. It's a trick. Quitting is a trick.
Yep.
Walking away from Jesus and quitting what he's doing is a trick. How many times do we get flustered and frustrated because it's not going and looking the way we think it should.
Yep.
And we quit God. But he remains faithful and waits.
That's what love does, man. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness he's love.
I know, right? I know, right? Would you like to pray? Would you like to share anything about Fivefold Ministry?
Yeah, sure. I'll just kind of share my social media platforms. Okay. So I'm on Rumble. Either the app or rumble.com. My handle on there is at firewalker77. So we do weekly teachings on Wednesday nights. We also meet here in town. Right now we're at our home group until we get the building finished. We're still just waiting for God to provide the funds to finish that up. Just been doing a lot of demolition. Got the roof put on. Just kind of starting to get ready to put that thing back together. We got some pretty big bills that are some electrical work that needs to be done. Then, of course, just kind of remodeling after that. But just kind of waiting for God. God brought this building in, and I said this from the very beginning. You have to do this. I'm not going to run and beat the streets and ask for money and do fundraising. I'm not going to do all that, because if this is what you have, I'm going to see you do it, and that's going to be the testimony not only to me but to anybody that watches this. I don't know how it's going to happen. I know God has built a body of Christ, and if we're reading the Word of God, there's instruction on how we're to walk this thing out. And I just see how God is going to move. He already has moved, but I mean, he brought me the building, but I just told him I'm not going to beat the streets for money. So I'm just waiting for him to continue to provide. And it's all in his timing, and I'm submitted to that. I'm not in a rush. I'm not in a hurry. I'm just occupying until he comes, until he moves and does his thing. So, but right now we're meeting in our house. If anybody's interested in that, just put a comment on the post, and I'll reach out to you. If you would like to come meet with us, we meet on Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 8 here in Elk City. And right now we're doing once a week. I will put out a feeler, too, while we're talking about this. I've been looking to do some more stuff. Right now we just do this one night a week. So if you have a place or a group and in need of a teacher, I'm just extending my hand. God has called me to do this, so I'm willing to do this. Just bring the truth of the message of Jesus Christ and preach the word and the gospel. So if some guys, I don't know, you know, a lot of people, some people out there don't like to go to church. They're not connected to a church body, but they still love Jesus, and they want to connect with other believers and things like that. So I've been even looking at maybe just meeting at a public facility, whether it be maybe at the Arrowhead Center or just a place where, you know, we can just get together and get into the Word of God, and let's talk about this. Because I know even some people, maybe are new Christians, because I just see an influx of Christians right now, new Christians. God is moving. God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh at this time. And there's just so many people that are coming to Christ. But we all know that when you first come to Christ, you're green behind the ears. We need to learn. We need to grow. And, of course, in the training center, that's what we're going to be doing, is I'll have classes specifically set up for brand new Christians, for midterm Christians, for long-term Christians, you know, just doing teachings that are relevant to where they are, to growing them. Just like, you know, we understand that in the natural. We don't stick a steak in a baby's mouth, and we don't stick a bottle in an adult's mouth. Like, there's just things that we need for certain times in our life and our growth. And that's really what God has moved on my heart through this training center, is to really hone in on those places. For the milk, we need to be feeding milk. And for the growth in food, we need to get growth in our food to mature in Christ and see the truth. That's always there. I'm still working on, a lot of people ask me, I'd love to give you some money, but I want the tax deduction. I'm still working on that, because we are right now underneath a ministry. That's who bought the building. So I'm kind of tied in to that at the moment. But we're trying to work out all the details, because they're out of state. And so there's a bunch of red tape we've been having to jump through to try to get where I can get a tax exemption from here in Oklahoma for those that are local. So that is coming. I'm working on that, but that is not tax deduction at this moment if you do choose to give. But as soon as that's available, I'll let you guys know. But rumble.com at firewalker77. I've got teaching that are posted there every week, or come join us live each Wednesday night, 6:30 to 8.
Amen. Brother, I appreciate you.
Yeah, you bet. I'm glad you had me today.
Yeah, I've been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all, and you already know I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Monica Lovell, for my beautiful, sweet mama, Eva Fleming, and for our awesome brother in Christ, Pastor Jason Long, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.